بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد خير المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So we carry on with the explanation of the six fundamental principles, الأصول الستة, which was authored by الإمام المجدد محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. In last week's lesson, to revise what we did, what was the principle that we covered last week, which was the first principle? Al-Ikhlas. And what's the meaning of Al-Ikhlas in the Arabic language or linguistically? The linguistic meaning of Al-Ikhlas. At-Tanqiyah. والتصفية. أن تنقي أن تصفية أن التهذيب, i.e. to purify something and to clean something. And the meaning of إخلاص in the Islamic terminology or in the Sharia, anything else, Uthman? The definition of الإخلاص. إفراد الله بالقصد في الأعمال الصالح من جميع شوائب الشرك, which means to purify all of your actions and the intention of your actions for the sake of Allah alone, and to purify and clean your intention from any of the doubts of a shirk or the branches of shirk or any of the aspects of a shirk. And then regarding the statement of the author, he said, وَكَوْنَ أَكْثَرَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي بَيَانِ هَذَا الْأَصْلِ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ شَتَّى, that most of the Qur'an, it has come regarding this principle, i.e. the principle of sincerity, from various different angles. And I mentioned that rather all of the Qur'an, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah mentioned, all of the Qur'an is regarding Tawheed. And how is it that all of the Qur'an is regarding Tawheed? How is it that all of the Qur'an, every single ayah in the Qur'an, is regarding Tawheed? Mahsin.
Because it falls into five categories.
So every single ayah falls into five categories. And what are those five categories? Uthman, yeah. So the first type of ayah in the Qur'an is إِخْبَارٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ, is information regarding Allah, regarding His names and regarding His attributes. And so this is Tawheed, Tawheed al-Khabri, or we can say this is Tawheed al-Rububi and Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. When Allah tells us regarding His actions and His attributes and His descriptions, all the ayah that we read, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ الرَّقِيبَ, and all of the other ayat that we read in the Qur'an regarding the names and the attributes and the actions of Allah. And the second type? The second type is a command from Allah to worship Him. Either an amr, a command, or a nahi, a prohibition. And how is this linked or related to Tawheed? How is that linked to Tawheed? So we say that this is from the rights of Tawheed. And this is from the perfection of Tawheed. That we worship Allah alone in showing obedience to His commands and staying away from those things which He has prohibited. And the third type of ayah in the Qur'an? That was in the second one. The third one? The second one was an order to worship Allah. And the third one? And the third one are commandments, i.e. the rules of Allah, the laws of Allah. And they're from the perfection of Tawheed. The fourth one? Yeah, so the fourth type of ayah we find in the Qur'an is the mention of Allah honoring the people of Tawheed either in this world or in the hereafter. So everything Allah mentions about Jannah, about paradise, and all of the delights of paradise, and all of the rewards in this world, who is it for? For the people of Tawheed. And then the last type of ayah, a mention of when Allah humiliates the people of shirk, and the punishment for the people of shirk. And Jahannam was created for the people of shirk and for the people of disbelief. So any ayah you find in the Quran can fit into one of these five types. And when it fits into one of these five types, then we say that every single ayah of the Quran proves and shows and is an evidence for at-tawheed. And then finally I mentioned, what is the main source for people committing shirk? Where does shirk often start? And where? What was the first type of shirk that ever happened? Al-ghulu. Al-ghulu, i.e. Exaggerating the praise of whom? In the awliya of Allah, in the salihin. So shirk often starts and often creeps amongst people due to them exaggerating the praise of the awliya of Allah. You have righteous people, and when those righteous people pass away, then people start worshipping them or praising them or making pictures of them or idols of them. And what was the instance, or what's the evidence for the first ever instance of shirk in history? The people of Nuh alayhi salam. And does anybody remember the ayah in the Quran? In Surah An-Nuh. When Allah said, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ, and the people said, do not leave your false deities. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ, and do not leave alone the idol called Wud, وَسُوَاعُ وَيَغُوثُ وَيَعُوقُ وَنَسْرَى. And this ayah is in Surah An-Nuh. In this ayah, Allah mentioned five idols. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions that these five idols, Wud, Wasuwa', Wayaguth, Wayauq, Wanasra, these were five righteous people from the Salihin, from the awliya of Allah. And when they passed away, then Shaitan came to the people who were left behind and said to them, that why don't you remember these people? Why don't you erect an idol for these people so they can remind you of Allah? So Shaitan didn't come to the people and say, worship these people. Rather, he came to the people and he said that erect a remembrance or a sitting or an idol for these people so they increase you in your remembrance of Allah. So he used dhikr of Allah as a mode or an avenue for people to fall into shirk. I mentioned that this is often the case, that many people fall into shirk because of ghulu, because due to being extreme or exaggerating in the praise of the righteous people. And I mentioned many ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding this. And in this lesson we come to the second principle. Who's going to read the Arabic? Do you have the Arabic with you? Az-Zindiq or Majnun. Jazakumullah khaira. So the second principle from the six principles from the Usul al-Sitta, as the author rahimahullah mentions, أمر الله بالاجتماع في الدين, that Allah has ordered with unity in the religion. ونهى عن التفرق فيه, and He has forbade, or He has forbidden for the Muslims to be divided or split up regarding it, i.e. regarding the religion. فبين الله هذا, so Allah explained this بيانا شافيا, in a very very clear manner. تفهمه العوام, that even such that even the common people, they understand. So this principle, the principle of al-ijtima'u fi al-deen, of Muslims being united in the religion, and that we shouldn't be divided, or we shouldn't allow discord to occur amongst us, this is something which has been made very, very clear in the Quran, such that even the common people, even they can understand. And so this is more than what is required for the tulab al-ilm or the scholars. It is so clear that even the common people understand. So is there any Muslim in this ummah, knowledgeable or otherwise, who has any doubt that unity in the religion and not being divided and split up in the religion, that this is from the principles of this religion, from the major principles of this religion, which is known by way of necessity, that every Muslim knows is for the Muslims to be united and to leave off disunity and discord. And this has been mentioned in many, many ayat in the Quran, and also many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet, so Allah Jalla fil Ula, He mentioned in the Quran many evidences and many proofs for this second principle. Inna alladhina farraqu deenahum wa kanu shi'a لست منهم في شيء. Indeed, those people who divided their religion and became sects and groups, you have nothing to do with them. And Allah said in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on, all of you, firmly to the rope of Allah and do not become united. In Surah Ali Imran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on, all of you, firmly to the rope of Allah and do not become united. And do not become disunited. And the scholars have mentioned a number of tafasir, a number of explanations for the phrase Hablullah, for the phrase the rope of Allah. Hold on, all of you, to the rope of Allah. Some of the scholars said that this means the Quran. So the rope of Allah, Hablullah, is the Quran. And some of the ulama of the Mufassireen, they mentioned that Hablullah, the rope of Allah, it is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either revelation which was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of his Sunnah. And some of the other scholars mentioned that Hablullah, the rope of Allah, it is Islam, i.e. it is as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path, i.e. the rope of Allah, al-Islam. And there's no contradiction between any one of these three explanations. All of these are included within being the rope of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah and the religion of Islam in itself. And no doubt, the strength of the Muslims is linked to their unity. And the weakness and the humiliation of the Muslims, and this isn't hidden from any intelligent person, is linked to the disunity of the Muslims. As Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Don't become divided. فَتَفْشَلُوا. So you become cowardly or weak. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your power or your strength is lost. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not become divided. فَتَفْشَلُوا. So you become cowardly and weak. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your strength or your power is lost. So this noble ayah shows that the strength of the Muslims and the victory of the Muslims is in them being united upon or in the religion. And the weakness of the Muslims and the humiliation of the Muslims is due to their divisions and discord that occurs or exists amongst them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in an authentic hadith, he said, Al-ijtima' rahma, al-ijtima' rahma. وَالْإِفْتِرَاقْ عَذَابْ. That being united and coming together is a mercy, i.e. a mercy of Allah. الْإِجْتِمَاعْ رَحْمَةً وَالْإِفْتِرَاقْ عَذَابْ. And discord and becoming divided is a punishment, i.e. punishment from Allah. عَذَابْ, punishment. And this is the main principle and the base upon which our religion is built, that we have been ordered to be united amongst each other, and Allah has forbidden us from becoming disunited.
وَنَهَانَا أَن نَكُونَ كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا قَبْلَنَا فَهَلَكُوا.
And Allah forbade us to be from, or to be like those people who differed and became divided before us, and they were destroyed. And again, many ayat in the Quran we find regarding this.
وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ.
Allah said in the Quran, do not be like those people who differed and became divided after the bayinat, after the knowledge and the evidences and the scriptures had come down to them. So this was an example of those people who came before us, the Jews and the Christians. And Allah told us how they became disunited and how they differed regarding the religion after the knowledge and after the scriptures had come to them. And therefore He warned us from being from amongst them.
وَذَكَرَ أَنَّهُ أَمَرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِالْإِجْتِمَاعِ فِي الدِّينِ.
And He mentioned that He has ordered the Muslims with unity
in the religion, fi al-deen. And there's a benefit that we can deduce from the wording of the author when he said, al-ijtima'u fi al-deen, that Allah has ordered unity upon the religion, in the religion. And the benefit is that the unity that is obligatory upon the Muslims is not a unity in all cases and in every situation. Rather, it is unity based upon the truth and based upon an aqidah and based upon principles, usul, that were agreed upon by the Sahaba and the most virtuous centuries or generations from amongst the Muslims, i.e. the first three generations. So when we say that we have to become united, when we say al-ijtima'u fi al-deen, we don't mean by this that all of the Muslims, they come together and become united regardless of their aqidah, regardless of their misguidances, regardless of the shirk and the innovation that is occurring. No. What we mean is that the Muslims have to be united through knowledge and upon a single aqidah, upon at-tawheed, upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the evidence for this is the ayah which I mentioned, wa'tasimu bihablillah jami'a, that all of you hold on firm to the rope of Allah, jami'an wa la tafarraqu, and do not become disunited. So Allah jalla fil 'ala, he didn't tell us to become united and not to become disunited. Rather, he said become united upon something, and that thing which you become united upon is the rope of Allah, i.e. the Quran and the Sunnah and the Islam and the correct aqidah. And from one of the statements that some of the people have mentioned previously and some of the groups still mention now, and this is a principle which isn't correct absolutely, they say nata'awunu fima ittafaqna alayh, that we should cooperate together upon that which we agree upon. So what we agree upon, we should cooperate with each other regarding it. وَيَعْذُرُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا فِي مَا اخْتَلَفْنَا فِيهِ, and we should excuse each other and forget those things which we differ upon. And this statement was mentioned by one of the ulama, one of the scholars in Egypt, a number of years ago. And then after this, another person came, and he was known to be from amongst the thinkers, the mufakkirin of Islam, that's how he was labeled as. And he took this principle and he started applying this principle absolutely, meaning he said that all of the Muslims, anything that we agree upon, that's fine, and we work with each other. Anything we disagree upon, just leave it to the side, it doesn't matter. As I mentioned, this principle isn't correct in an absolute sense. Rather, it's incomplete. So as for the first half of this sentence, or of this phrase, where he said, that work together all of you on that which you have agreed upon, then this is correct. And the evidence for this is the saying of Allah, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, that cooperate with each other and work with each other upon al-birr, upon righteousness and at-taqwa. And as for the second half of this sentence, whereby they said that those things that we disagree upon, then we should excuse each other and forget this, then this is incorrect. Because the difference, or those matters that we differ upon, they're two types. So those matters that we differ upon, or difference regarding the religion, is two types. The first type of difference is a difference which is dispraised, or which is not permissible, or which is unlegislated. Al-ikhtilaf al-madhmum, difference which is unlegislated and not permissible and rebuked by the Sharia. And that is for people to differ regarding the aqidah. So it's not permissible for any Muslims to differ regarding the aqidah, and to differ regarding the usul of the religion, to differ regarding the principles, the fundamental principles of this religion. So it's not permissible to differ regarding these.
and to differ regarding those matters which the Sahaba were united upon, and to differ regarding what the Salaf of this Ummah used to call Usul al-Sunnah or Usul al-Islam, the principles of the Sunnah or the principles of al-Islam. So it's not permissible for any two Muslims to become disunited regarding these. And then the second type of difference which is permitted, or which is not rebuked, is differing over those things or over the subsidiary matters of fiqh, for example, or the detailed branches which some of the Salaf and some of the companions and even the great Imams differed over. So when it comes to these subsidiary matters and these branches of Islam, because they're not from the fundamentals of Islam, and because the great Imams and the Salaf and some of the Sahaba differed regarding them, then difference regarding these matters is not something that we would blame people over. And we would not say that it's not permissible for anybody to differ amongst these things. And we wouldn't call people who differ over these matters as innovators, for example, or that they leave the religion of Allah. But because the companions differed over these issues, and the Salaf differed over them, and the great Imams differed over them, and because they are complex, detailed matters, and there's evidences for these matters, then we say that this difference is not something which is dispraised or rebuked by the Sharia. And in both cases, whether the difference is something which is madhmum, al-ikhtilaf al-madhmum, or whether it is something which is permissible, in all of these matters, in both of these types, the fundamental principle still applies, and that is for unity. So we don't say that it's correct for us to differ even on the subsidiary matters. Rather, what we say is that we advise each other, even on the subsidiary matters, even on the branches of fiqh, and we establish the evidences, and we teach, and we convince people with evidences regarding that which we think is correct. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, that if you differ in anything, then return it back to Allah and His Messenger. So even in the subsidiary matters, even in the issues of fiqh, the branches of the religion, which are more detailed and more complex, then even regarding these things, we say that all of us should return back at the end of the day to Al-Quran and to the Sunnah. وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ أَوْ فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, if you differ in anything, then return back to Allah and His Messenger. How do we return back to Allah? By going back to the Quran and the evidence in the Quran. How do we return back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? By returning back to the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And no doubt, differences and differences of opinion, then this is the nature of human beings that we were created upon. Allah Jalla fil Ula, He created us upon this nature, that we differ and we have different opinions. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا, that had He wanted to, He could have made all of the people upon one ummah, as one nation. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ, however, they will not cease to be differing. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحْمَ رَبُّكَ, except he whom Allah has mercy upon. So in the saying of Allah, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ, that they will never cease to differ, then this is an indication that from the nature of human beings is to have differences and differences of opinion amongst each other. However, firstly, this difference of opinion and this differing, as I mentioned, it can't be the difference which is looked down upon, which has been censored in the Sharia, a difference regarding the Aqidah or difference regarding the Usul of this religion. And secondly, this difference, it cannot lead to, it should not lead to at-tabaghud, to hatred and taqatu', and to cutting off from each other, abandoning each other, and enmity between the people, or animosity between the people. And even in this,
difference of opinion, which is sometimes in the nature of the people, then the same principle and the same ayah applies. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ in anything, then return it back to Allah and the Messenger. And then the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said, وَيَزِيدُهُ وُضُوحًا, that this principle is more explained and clear by that which is found in the Sunnah مِنَ الْعَجَبْ الْعُجَابِ, from the strange or the amazing matters or the amazing evidences that are found in the Sunnah. And in reality, if a person was to look in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the author says, min ajab al ujab, amazing ahadith and amazing rulings from which we can deduce the importance of unity. And I will mention to you some of these rulings. So for example, in one of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the companions, he said, إنما تفرقكم هذه من الشيطان, or إنما تفرقكم هذا من الشيطان, that this differing of yours is from a shaytan. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إنما تفرقكم هذا من الشيطان, that this differing of yours is from a shaytan. And when did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this to the companions? The narrator of the hadith, the rawi al-hadith, the narrator of the hadith, he mentions, لَمَّا كُنَّا مُسَافِرِينَ, that when we used to be traveling on a journey, فَأَتَيْنَا إِلَى الْمَبِيتِ, and we came to a place to sleep at night or to rest, تَفَرَّقْنَا, we became separated. Meaning, in a journey, when the companions were in a journey and they were traveling together, and then they came to a place where they would stay for the night or they would rest for a while, then some of them would sit over there and some of them would sit over there, and they would spread out and sit in various places. And in this instance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا تَفَرُّقُكُمْ هَذَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that even this differing of yours, this is from shaytan. So consider this amazing evidence and the concern that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have for the companions, that even in something that most of us would consider as being something which is trivial, meaning sitting in small groups in different places, even in this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this differing of yours here, this is from a shaytan. Meaning he advised them that even they're sitting and they're resting, when they sit, that they should come together. And this is something which is felt even in a masjid, for example. Now when in the circles of knowledge, the people are sitting close together, then it shows unity and people feel as if they are one and they are together in one cause. And we find people sitting away and sitting separately, then maybe shaitan comes to those people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الذِّئْبُ الْقَاسِيَةَ, that the wolf devours the sheep which is alone, the lone sheep. So even in this, even in sitting in the masjid or sitting in the journey, or for example, seeking refuge or shelter in a place, then the Muslims have been advised to come together and do it together. For amongst the amazing ahadith or the rulings that we find in the hadith which proves that we should be united in the religion is regarding eating. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُلَّمَا كَثُرَتْ الْأَيْدِي كَثُرَتْ الْبَرَكَةِ, that each time more hands are found, meaning taking food from a single plate, there's more blessing in that food. Every time there are more hands, are you taking food from a plate or eating together, then there's more barak and more blessings in that food, in that eating. So look, even when it comes to eating, we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advising us to be united and to not be disunited. So it's not from the ways of the Muslims like what the non-Muslims do, that one person takes his food and he sits over there, another person takes his food and he sits over there. Rather, the Muslims, they eat together sitting close together from the same place and from sharing the same food. From the great ahadith and the rulings that are found in the sunnah regarding, or which we can deduce unity from them, is when it comes to the prayer and how we stand in the prayer and the straightening of the rows. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَتُقِيمُنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ أَوْ لَتَسُوُّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ, that either you should straighten your rows, I close the gaps and stand close together, or that Allah will cause your heart to become disunited. So even in the standing for prayer, there is a reason why we stand close together in one line and why we establish the prayers and don't leave space between each other, because of the command of Allah to be united. And another great example is when it comes to buying and selling. There are certain transactions found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are impermissible. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yubi'u ahadukum ala bay'i akhi." The one of you should not buy when his brother is buying. Meaning that if we find two Muslims, one is buying and one is selling, and they are still negotiating the price and they haven't decided anything, it's not permissible for another Muslim to come and to undercut his other Muslim brother who is negotiating to buy that commodity. So he comes privately and he says, "The whatever this person is giving you, I will give you slightly more." Why? Because the possibility that this will cause some hatred to occur in the heart of this person, and therefore disunity between two Muslims. And also, for example, a riba, interest and usury. Even if two Muslims came together and they wrote a contract and they bought witnesses and they were both happy, absolutely happy with this arrangement, which is based upon interest, for example. Yet despite the fact that they are both pleased with it and they have witnesses and they have a contract, then Allah did not make this contract permissible. It's not permissible to take a loan with interest or usury. Why? Because even though he's pleased now, maybe in a few days, Shaitan will come to him and say to him, look at this Muslim brother of yours. When he could have given this loan to you, he wanted to make some profit from you. And for this reason, Allah made interest and usury impermissible. Why? Because it might cause the Muslims to be disunited. So we can see, in every single instance of a Muslim's life, and now we're not talking about those ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly and directly told us to be united, but we're talking about the rulings of the Sharia found in the ahadith. We find in every single instance from a Muslim's life, we have been ordered with unity and to become united. When we eat, when we sit, when we sleep, when we take refuge, when we buy, when we sell, in everything we have anything which causes disunity has been made haram. Why was backbiting made haram? Why was namima, slandering, made haram? Why was jealousy made haram? Why was at-tabaghud, hatred, made haram? Why was boycotting made haram? لا يهجر المسلم أخاه فوق ثلاث. A Muslim should not boycott his brother more than 3 days. Why have all of these things been made haram? Because each one of these things is an avenue for the Muslims to become disunited. And this is the meaning of the statement of the author, that which is found in the sunnah makes it very, very clear, min ajab al ujab, from amazing rulings in every single thing, in sitting and eating and seeking refuge, and even in marriage, and even in buying and selling, we find the principle, the underlying principle of al-ijtima'u fi deen, to become united in the religion and to leave off disunity. And there are many ahadith regarding the command to be united. However, there are five particular hadith and famous hadith that we can take as principles when it comes to
unity or trying to unite the Muslims. So five principles or five ahadith which we should take as principles in trying to unite the Muslims and solving any problems that cause disunity. The first hadith is a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that all of you know, ad-deenu nasiha, ad-deenu nasiha, ad-deen an-nasiha, that this religion, it is sincere advice. The hadith of Abu Ruqayyah Tamim Ad-Dari radiyallahu anhu. So whenever you advise, whenever a person comes to you for advice and you advise him with sincerity, wanting or seeking the pleasure of Allah Jalla fil Ula. And the second hadith, which we can take as a principle, is a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. One of you does not truly believe until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. One of you does not truly believe, or none of you truly believes, until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. And this single hadith in itself, these few words and this single statement, this in itself is equal to every single law found in the Charter of the United Nations of Human Rights, in all the laws that they have. All of these laws can be summarized in one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you love for your brother that which you love for yourself. And then the third principle, or the third hadith which we can take as a principle, is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, احرس على ما ينفع. Focus on and concentrate on those matters which are beneficial for you, which will bring some benefit to you. Because one of the avenues of Muslims becoming disunited is them concerning themselves with affairs that have no benefit to them. Things are happening in different countries which is of no benefit to them. People in different countries, that does not concern them or does not benefit from them. And then you see Muslims becoming disunited because of such events or such people, instead of focusing on and concentrating on those things which are of benefit to them. The fourth hadith or principle that we can take from the hadith is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's similar to the hadith that I've mentioned, where he said, "Min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that thing which does not concern him. So it's not permissible for us to talk about or concern ourselves with the private lives and the private affairs of other people, or the problems that are occurring between a family, for example. Unless, of course, if you're going to go to those people and try to bring about some islah, some rectification amongst those people. So one of the avenues of hatred and the avenues of disunity and harshness that people find in their hearts is when people concern themselves with those things which don't concern them. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. And then the last hadith, or the last principle which we can take from a hadith, is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, أَنْزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ, that give the people, or put the people in the correct ranks or levels. Meaning that you interact with each person or with each group of people according to what is befitting for them. So an elderly person is interacted with in a particular manner, and the child is interacted with in a particular manner, and the teenagers are dealt with in a particular manner. So we don't deal with the men like we deal with the women, for example. And we don't deal with
the kings and the people of authorities, like we deal with, for example, the common people. Each one of these people, we have to give them the correct respect and use wisdom in how we deal with them. So consider the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَا يُوَقِّرْ الْكِبَارِ, that the person who does not honor and respect the elderly is not from us. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ الصِّغَارِ, and neither is he from us the person who does not have mercy upon the child. So look at the two different wordings that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. When it came to the old and the elderly person, then he used the term respecting and honoring and exalting. He mentioned the word al-waqar and al-ijlal. Inna min ijlalillah ijlal al-kibar. From honoring Allah and exalting Allah is honoring and respecting the old person. And when it came to the young person, and the child, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a different word. He said, yarham, to be merciful. So we can see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised with two different approaches when he came to the old person and to the young person. So this is summarizing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anzilu nasa manazilahum. It's either hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it's the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha. And despite these clear evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah, then Shaitan came to the people and he deceived the people. ثُمَّ صَارَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِفْتِرَاقِ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِهِ هُوَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْفِقْهِ فِي الدِّينِ, that then the matter became such that actually differing and becoming disunited in the religion, this is the knowledge and this is the fiqh of the religion. That people started to think that becoming disunited and disagreeing with each other, this is the religion and this is real knowledge and this is fiqh in the religion. And in this regard, there are two famous ahadith that people mention, and two famous statements that are common amongst the people, and they often rate these statements and they attribute them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, both of these statements, not only are they not authentic, neither are they hasan, neither are they da'if, they're not even weak, rather they are totally fabricated. And these two narrations that people mention, number one, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna iftiraqa ummati rahma, that the dividing of my ummah, it is mercy. They say that this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna iftiraqa ummati rahma, that indeed the differing of my ummah, this is mercy. This is mercy. And firstly, as a refutation of this, is that this goes against all of the other evidences that we have mentioned in the Quran, and all of the other evidences that are clearly mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars mentioned regarding this hadith, and I will quote to you what some of the scholars have mentioned. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimullah, he mentioned the statements of the scholars. First of all, Shaykh al-Albani rahimullah said regarding this narration, اِخْتَلَافُ أُمَّتِي رَحْمَةِ, he said, لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ, that this narration, it has no basis from it. I no basis of authenticity in the religion. And then he quoted Ibn Hazm rahimullah, that he said that this narration is batilun makdhub. It is falsehood and it's a lie upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Hazm, you'll know, it was one of the great scholars of Andalus. And Al-Hafidh al-Mannawi rahimullah, he said regarding this narration, and we don't say it's a hadith, this statement, he said, لَمْ أَقِفْ لَهُ عَلَىٰ سَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ وَلَا ضَعِيفٍ وَلَا مَوْضُوعٍ. He said, I have not come across a sanad, a chain of narration regarding this statement, and neither is this chain of narration sahih, authentic, neither is it weak, And it's not even mawdu', it's not even fabricated. Meaning, it's a complete, it is complete falsehood and a complete lie. And then the second statement, and this statement is even more famous than the first one that many people mention, and many of the Imams of the Masjid mention. They say and they claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashabi kan nujum, bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum." That my companions, they are like the stars. So many different stars. Whichever one of them you follow, you will be guided. And Shaykh Al-Albani rahimullah, he mentioned regarding this hadith, he said, "Wahuwa hadithun mawdu'." This hadith, it is mawdu', it is fabricated. It is a lie upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of the hadith, my companions are like stars. Any one of them that you follow, you'll be guided. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimullah, he mentioned the statement of Ibn Hazm rahimullah, who said, "Riwayatun saqita." That this narration, it is saqita, meaning worthless. You know, nothing has no evidence, no standing in it. And Ibn Abd al-Barr, who's from the scholars of the Malikiyya, he said regarding this statement, "هذا الإسناد لا تقوم به حجة." That this isnad, the chain of narration found in this statement, لا تقوم به حجة. It's not worthy of being an evidence. So both of these statements are mentioned by many imams, and they are widespread and common upon the tongues of many people. And they use this as an evidence for people to be disunited. And they say, the people say that becoming disunited regarding the usul of this religion and the furu', i.e. the fiqh of this religion, this is knowledge and this is fiqh in the religion. And they say, وصار الاجتماع في الدين, and as for the command to become united, then nobody says this except a zindiq, a heretic, or a majnoon, somebody who is insane. Why do they say this? They say that those people who are saying that the Muslims should be united and you should not be disunited, then you are disrespecting the scholars who differed amongst each other. And you are disrespecting the madahib, the very schools of thought, and their difference of opinions. And we say that we are not disrespecting those scholars who differed with each other. Neither are we disrespecting the madahib. Rather, we are saying that all of the statements and the differences of opinions of the scholars, along with our respect for them, and the difference of the madahib, they should be taken back to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of all of the Salaf. Because we have not been ordered and made responsible in following one particular imam or one particular person. And that each one of us is stubborn upon his way and his madhab and his imam, regardless of what the evidence is or where the truth is. Rather, we have been made responsible for يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُسْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever shows obedience to Allah and His Messenger. فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. And if you differ in anything, then go back to Allah and His Messenger. So the Muslims have been made responsible to follow Allah and His Messenger, the Quran and the Sunnah. And we haven't been made responsible or obligated upon us to follow a particular imam or a particular madhab. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. Is there any questions?
Outbid him. There are certain transactions that are permitted in a certain transaction which are not permitted. From the permitted types of transactions that the fuqaha mentioned that occurred at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is what they call in fiqh mu'amalat, they call it al-muzayada. And al-muzayada, in essence, it's an auction. So that is something which was permitted. And this is because that the objective behind the auction is that it's an open auction that people can outbid each other. But as for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لا يبيع أحدكم على بيع أخي, one of you should not outbid your brothers, then this is regarding, for example, a private sale. So two people are negotiating a price and somebody comes behind the back of this Muslim brother and he outbids him. And he says that whatever this person is negotiating with you, I'll give you, for example, 100 pounds extra. And this is in the midst of them interacting with each other, negotiating with each other. As soon as the negotiations are finished and they make a decision to accept or not to accept, then the next person can come and can offer a higher bid or a lower bid. As long as the negotiations have finished. Close to this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, لَا يَخْطُبُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ خِطْبَةِ أَخِي, that one of you should not go and offer a proposal for marriage when one of his brothers is considering this proposal. Meaning, if there's a particular Muslim brother and he's considering a particular proposal for a particular sister, then it's not permissible at the same time for another Muslim to go and then offer himself. Rather, he waits until a decision has been made, yes or no, and then he can go and put himself forward. Wallahu a'lam. There's no more questions.
What's the reply to some of the larger groups who say that you people, Salafis, who are a small group numerically, that you have split away from all the Jama'ah, and that, you know, you say that you should be united, but you're the ones who have split away from the bigger group?
Mm. That's a doubt that some people spread. They say that, number one, the smaller group have disunited or differed from the majority. And number one, never in Islam has numbers or a majority been an evidence for being upon the truth. From the evidences of being upon the truth is evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And as for numbers, large numbers or majorities, then this has never been an evidence. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned when he was taken to the seven heavens that he saw a prophet wa ma'ahu ar-rahd, that I saw a prophet and with him was a large group of people. Wa ra'aytu nabiyyan wa ma'ahu rajulan wa rajulaini, and I saw a prophet and with him was one person or two people. Wa ra'aytu nabiyyan wa laysa ma'ahu ahad, and I saw another person and there was nobody with him. And many ayat in the Quran do we find Allah Jalla fil Ula saying that the majority is not an evidence for the truth. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ, most of them, they will not believe. And Allah said that if you to follow most of the people, they will surely misguide you. So the majority of the people or the number of a people is never an evidence for those people being upon the truth. And how many ahadith do we find regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that towards the end of time, the people of truth will be little in number. Bada al Islam gharib. Islam began as being strange, i.e. a few numbers. Wasayudu ghariban, I will go back to being something which is strange, i.e. a few numbers. وَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى, and all goodness is for the غُرَبَى, i.e. for those small people, group of people who are as strangers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the days of patience, أَيَّام الصَّبَر, and he said that during the days of patience, the one who is firm upon the sunnah, upon Islam, will be like a person who is holding hot coals. How difficult is it for people to hold on to hot coals? And this will be towards the end of time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called it ayyam as-sabr, the days of patience. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that those people who are firm upon the religion of Allah, even though they are strangers, and even though it's difficult, like holding on to hot coals, then they will have the reward of 50 people. The Sahaba, alayhim ridwanullah, they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, khamsuna minna minhum, the reward of 50 people, them 50 people or 50 people of us, either companions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, bal minkum, rather from you. So a person, according to this hadith, towards the end of the time, he's firm upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though it is very difficult, will have the reward of 50 companions from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in any case, never has large numbers or the majority of Muslims ever been an evidence for the validity of a particular statement or a particular opinion. As I said, the validity of an opinion or a statement or a group is according to their holding firm to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Taraktu fikum amrain, I have left amongst you two matters. Lan tudillu ba'di ma tamassaktum bihima, you will never become misguided after me as long as you hold on firm to them. Kitabullah wa sunnati, the book of Allah and my sunnah. Taraktukum ala al-mahajja bayda, I've left you upon a clear path. Layluha kanahariha, its night is as clear as its day. La yuzighu anha illa halik, nobody deviates away from this path, i.e. Islam and the Quran and the evidence of the Quran and sunnah, illa halik, except he is destroyed. Sataftariqu ummati ala 73 firqa, my ummah will be divided or split into 73 sects. Where is the majority? 72 of them in Jahannam, nasal Allah salamu al-afiyah, and one of them in Jannah. And the Sahaba asked, wa manhum ya Rasulullah, who are they? I.e. who is this saved sect? Kullaha fi nar illa wahida, all of them in the fire except one. So the majority in the fire except one. The companion said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, humma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi, they are those people upon what I am upon today and my companions.